You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
This is my jam. Turn it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
No mixed martial arts chance. It is too late for that.
Oh, shit.
But the second half of our UFC 266 post-fight coverage at 3:20 a.m. here on the East Coast. We just had a press conference that ended with Alexander Volkanovski chugging beer from a shoe. It has been that kind of a night, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I am Mike Heck. We got Casey Lydon on the ones and twos joining me once again. Yes. Can we take some time to appreciate once again the main event in the title fight in Alexander Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega? I mean, that fight was ridiculous. Volkanovski retains the title. The scorecards are 49-46, 50-45, 50-44, if memory serves me correctly. But you said it earlier, it was not indicative on how good and how competitive that fight actually was. So wax poetic, because we don't get to do this that often. Like we love when martial arts are mixed, but when we see them at high levels like this, when they're in a blender, when you blend the martial arts and you hit like full power, that's what we saw in that main event.
And throw in just a little, just massive amounts of just heart and just grime and blood and just courage and just everything. Wow, it was super duper. And just freaking toughness. Oh wow. This is just the third round. One of the greatest championship rounds we've ever seen. And it still might not have been the best round of the night, as crazy as that sounds, but I think it is. I picked Ortega coming into this fight. I picked him by third round submission, so it was very close. Apparently, I was so close that the champ was gurgling. Apparently, but man, Volkanovski, he is. This is the fight he needed to kind of put him over fans. I think this washes a bit of the bad taste that maybe fans felt by him defeating in the split decision over the Holloway fight. I really think this kind of washes that away. Volkanovski now, without a doubt, is the UFC champion. Not just in name, but like he owns it now. And I think if this win tonight also, you know, we're now talking, maybe Volkanovski really is on that kind of Mount Rushmore of all-time great featherweights. I think he's only 32, so he's like right at his prime of his athletic career. So just an exciting night in mixed martial arts, and can't say enough good things about Mr. Volkanovski, that was late, and Mr. Ortega. Just a wonderful fight, and it was a honor to see that, to witness it.
Yeah, I mean, it had everything, and you can talk about the trash talk all you want. Volkanovski said it was just he's trying to get him fired up. And
trying to get himself fired up, too.
Yeah, like, himself fired up and try to get Ortega to sort of fight outside of himself. And the fight was just marvelous. It was just so good. Like Volkanovski was landing leg kicks, that jab, and then even Ortega's jab, like once he started to get loose, man, holy cow. Like that Ortega's jab was so good.
And Ortega was attacking Volkanovski's legs a lot in the first two rounds too. Like it was just, it went from just a kind of boxing to kind of a kickboxing. Then the third round, just boom, throw everything in there. And it built up. Oh man. It was nice. It was good. It was good. And no controversies. They talked about the headbutt. I didn't see the headbutt in that third round. Was that did I don't know if people at home commenting, did they feel that was a factor? I wasn't really sure, but that was the only kind of weird part of the fight. But outside of that, I guess the doctors are kind of, I'm pretty sure Ortega missed it when he asked numbers. I'm pretty sure he said the wrong number, but the doctor was like, this fight's too awesome. Go back out there.
Yeah. I mean, once Volkanovski got out of those submissions and got on top, it was just like the Merab, Mirai's fight where like it was close to being stopped and the other guy was very close to getting it stopped on the other side. So crazy fight, unbelievable heart, unbelievable grit. And I think it's time to start putting Volkanovski in that conversation in terms of like, he's not the pound for pound best fighter in the world right now, but he's in that conversation right now. I think he's that good. And I know a lot of people have that they talk about the second Holloway fight. I implore you to go back and watch that fight again. Cause it's not even just to be like who actually won, but just to see great martial arts and just to see how good Volkanovski's fight IQ is, just like on the spot, the way he's able to make adjustments on the fly. It's really something special.
Yeah. And I've said this before, but like, you know, every time I said, I thought Holloway won that fight, that doesn't mean I thought Holloway is like just this giant leap up, giant, you know, distance away from Volkanovski in terms of skill level. They're so close. Like, I think that if they fight 100 times, each guy wins 50 times. And I just thought I thought Holloway was just that much better that night. That's all I'm saying, weirdos. Volkanovski clearly is just super awesome. He proved it tonight. And he proved that he can come back from like serious adversity too. So that was just exciting too. Because like, you know, I mean, we'll talk about this briefly later maybe. But like Marlon Moraes, that's kind of the difference between this kind of great fighter and this championship level fighter, champion fighter. Marlon Moraes, he may get that lead, but once he hits that wall, then it just goes downhill real fast. And we've seen this multiple times, not just tonight. But what we saw tonight was new parts of Volkanovski that we haven't seen before. And as a fan, that's super exciting.
Yep, he's talking about maybe going up to 55. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, maybe he does. I don't, unless it's like a fill-in thing. I don't see why he would do that.
I think he just wants to fight. He just wants to get he wants to get a paycheck. He kind of said he didn't fight in a year and a half or so. I think he's like, I kind of need the money. And I'm not sure. I don't think he has to go do a super fight for a belt too. He could do what Anderson did, kind of, you know, just fight fun fights at a weight class above. You know, when Anderson fought like Forrest Griffin and things like that. So I don't think I don't think we need to start matchmaking at 55 for him or anything, but. No. The guy wants to get back in there. We want to see him more. Volkanovski, oh, it sucks. He needs a fight in Australia. I felt kind of bad for the man in the sense that the crowd he barely got a pop when he walked out and all that stuff. And maybe he'll earn it. Maybe he'll get that in his next fight in the States. But I was kind of bummed that's just the non-energy for Volkanovski.
Yeah. And Holloway Rodriguez, they will headline November 13th. If Holloway wins, man, that's a big fight to see them go a third time. Even though Volkanovski won the first two fights, you know, I thought Volkanovski won both fights. The second was super close. Could have gone either way, depending on who you ask and how you look at things. But the third fight is really interesting. I want to see it again.
And they fought 50 minutes now. And neither of them like seriously hurt the other person in either of those 50 minutes. Yeah. So it's been 50 competitive minutes, you know? So yeah, I think third one would be freaking awesome. And if Yair can pull it off, heck, who knows? Maybe Yair is the best featherweight out there. We just don't know yet, but that's why they fight. That's the exciting part about all this. And before we move on to different fights or whatever, man, Volkanovski in the post presser, This guy has got a personality. Just give him a couple of beers. Oh my goodness, he was just cursing up a storm, and just he was just funny. Like I was like, I don't know. Like I was kind of whatever. But Volkanovski, especially coming in this with the kind of trash talk, but he kind of laid it out. I'm like, all right, I'll give the benefit, you know, of that one. But yeah, he was hilarious. Either way, he was trash. You know, he wants to be. He doesn't mind being a heel just for fun. You know, like trash talking. Connor trash talking Cejudo, but then praising the right things, like you know he praised Holloway and things like that. So like he's not just trashing everything, you know. He makes sense when he's talking. So yeah, more Volkanovski. I'm on the train.
I'm there on you it. Go driving the Volkswagen.
There you go.
How about that, there Jed Meshew? Jed Meshew's be loving that one. Yep. He's the conductor of the Chevy truck. And the Chevy truck rolls on with another dominant win. Valentina Shevchenko just dominates Lauren Murphy. Lauren just had nothing for her. She just couldn't get going. And it was interesting hearing Valentina talk about, and I know some of the questions veered to her. They're trying to get her to say some stuff that she typically wouldn't say, but Valentina just lays it out perfectly. She knows very quickly. Like, she'll get right into your game. Like, if you think you have a strategy of what you're going to do, Valentina will play that game quickly. And then as soon as it doesn't work for you, that's when the confidence rises and she turns into that killer. And Lauren Murphy just had nothing for her tonight. Like, she just was gun shy. She couldn't get inside. Anytime she tried to do something, Valentina had an answer for it. And I mean, this is just a masterpiece from Valentina Shevchenko. Finally, mercifully, it gets stopped in the fourth round, got nasty. Referee stepped in at the right time.
Perfect. And that's stoppage. It. Perfect timing.
Yeah. No nonsense. Keith Peterson was not allowing any more nonsense to happen. Valentina Shevchenko gets it done. And we're getting to this point where I know a lot of people are just like, oh, we already know it's inevitable. Like, she's going to win. And can we just enjoy that though? Like, she's just so good. Like, she's just so far better than her peers. Let's just enjoy that for as long as we have her. Right. Like, it's just, we're not going to see. We may not see anything else like this ever again.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't understand this complaint about Valentina fights. I don't know. She's an amazing athlete, an amazing fighter. Just super interesting story. Her backstory speaks 1,700 languages. Learning another one. Even came out in the post presser. After doing all this, you know, everyone's like, you're the GOAT, you're the GOAT, you're the GOAT. And then, you know what? I'm going to defend the ring girls tonight, you know. And they're not, they're decorations, but they're meant to be there. You know, they're beautiful women. Let's respect them, you know. And I was like, wow, even it's just like these layers, this onion of Valentina was awesome. And please appreciate her, fans. Please appreciate her. I know maybe some people are new to the sport. MMA, but when Anderson Silva was during his little run, I remember the same thing. People would actually be not as bad as Valentina, but people would be super bored and like bummed out. We're like, oh, Anderson's fighting again. But now looking back at it, we got to appreciate these are once, like, we don't get athletes like this often, and we have the first GOAT of the flyweight division, and she's right here in her prime. Appreciate it.
Agreed. And I know a lot of people are going to look at the sort of what's next for Valentina Shevchenko. And it's kind of tough in her spot because, like, Andrade beat her, Chukagian beat her, Murphy beat her, Maya beat her, Calvillo lost tonight. I mean, Alexa Grasso and Joanne Calderwood are fighting November 20th. If Calderwood wins, I wouldn't mind seeing her get the shot because of like what happened last year. And
a lot of people thought she beat Murphy even, you know.
Thought she beat Murphy. If Grasso wins, I don't want to give Grasso the title shot. Not because I don't think she would have earned it in this landscape, but I feel like Grasso, give her a couple more fights because I feel like her potential is there. I don't think she beats Valentina even on the best day of her career, and that's no disrespect to Alexa Grasso, but I'd rather see Alexa get a little more experience under her belt, let her get her confidence as high as possible before you throw in there with Valentina, because I feel like if you do that, that'll be at least somewhat interesting fight, because I thought Araujo might have been you know, a really interesting test, but then Chookagian beat her.
We got another. Yeah, there was another flyweight farther down the card tonight that obviously she's a couple more wins and made a little more notoriety, but is Tyla Santos.
Yeah.
So, but I still think, yeah, obviously she needs a little more name value, but who knows?
Dude, I would throw Tyla Santos in there with Chookagian like ASAP and just throw her, see if she, because I think she's good. I think she's really good. I think she has what it takes. She's a little green, but with what we see at this point in her career, what she, you know, that was like her 11th or 12th fight, maybe.
Yeah.
Trying to think, like, I mean, oh no, I'm sorry. She's 17-1, but I mean, she's young in the UFC. Yeah,
young in the UFC. That's what I mean. More young in the UFC. And since we don't, I don't know anything about her other than she's Brazilian.
Let's see how good she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she worked Roxanne Modafari tonight everywhere. So,
yep. So great win for Shevchenko. Enjoy her. She's phenomenal. She might be the greatest fighter on planet Earth right now, male or female.
Yeah. There's an argument. Yeah. There's a good argument for it.
And I think we will see the Amanda Nunes fight maybe by the end of next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not. There were so many storylines going into this week. One thing I didn't really bring up, which I wanted to bring up, but it's just too much stuff. I never liked the Andrade Cynthia Calvillo fight booking. For this reason in particular, there's so many limited options now for Valentina to fight because she keeps beating him off. So don't have the number two person being Andrade face someone like Calvillo, because if Andrade wins like she did tonight, now Calvillo is out of the running for a championship fight for a long time too, because that was like a dominant loss. If it was like a close loss, like Calderwood kind of had a close loss against Murphy, she's like one win back, you know, but I feel like Calvillo is almost back at the line with that just dominant, just non-competitive fight. But it reminded me of when the UFC kind of booked Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana. I was like, why are they booking this? Because Holly's going to win, but now, you know, Nunes doesn't have anyone to fight now. So, yeah. But
yeah,
weird booking.
Well, now we can settle the Lauren Murphy-Cynthia Calvillo rivalry from last year.
They can
fight, and there we go.
You know what? You're right. The UFC, they make $1 billion. They know what they're doing. This is all a big long game to set up Calvillo versus Murphy.
That's all it was. Great win for Shevchenko. Yeah. Murphy, we'll learn from this and we'll see where she goes from here. Yeah. But of course, the big story, the return of Nick Diaz. He made the walk, took on Robbie Lawler 17 years after their first fight. And it was fun, man. It was fun. I sat there and I approached this thing with a complete open mind where I had no clue what was going to happen. I had no expectations for it. I didn't set anything. I was just going to sit there and watch it and react to what I saw. And even if I did have expectations, this one exceeded it by 1,000. That was a much better fight than I could have possibly have drawn out. In the end, Robbie Lawler gets the big knockdown in round three, busts Nick Diaz's nose. Nick was like, nope, no more. He got hit hard, and he got hit hard a lot in this fight. And I think he was just done. And I'm not going to call him a quitter. I think if you do, it's a little unfair, especially very after unfair. The amount of punishment he took in that fight. But Robbie Lawler avenges a loss, and it was fun friggin' fight. Like, it was a fun friggin' fight. I enjoyed it very much. What were your thoughts on the fight and just sitting there watching these two guys fight 17 years after that crazy fight they had in 2004?
I was going into this fight week, I was just uneasy about the whole situation. I just felt like Nick was in there for, no, not the right reasons. You know, like we like to say, what are the right reasons? No one really knows, but I just feel like whatever the reasons were, it wasn't the right reasons for Nick. But once he was in that locker room, once he came in the locker room, shook hands with freaking GSP. What a cool shot that was. You see that?
Yeah, that was awesome.
I was like, whoa. Cut back to, I want to see more of this. But it could have been a very sad night, and I don't think it was. Even for the hardcore Nick Diaz fans, I think you realize, yeah, he lost the fight. He's been out for a while, but the fighter, the Nick Diaz we know, was still there. And it was a different Nick Diaz too, especially it wasn't this angry. I've never seen Nick Diaz really walk into a cage without, you know, going, you know, the mean mug, you know, it was nothing like that all week. he just seemed to want to go in there and, you know, I'm just going to fight for, not fun, you know, fun's the wrong word, but I felt maybe like before when younger in his career, like martial arts and fighting was saving his life. And I think now it was a little different. He's just like, no, I'm just going to do this because this is kind of what I want to do. This is fun. And the game has passed him up. He's not the same fighter. Jake Shields went online and kind of talked about how, you know, Nick was forced early into this fight, you know, before he was ready, you know, only a 6-week training camp, you know, things like that. But, I mean, unless there's some weird stuff coming out, I wanted to say positive and hope that, you know, Nick didn't have to, wasn't forced by, like he says, snakes to take this fight. But I seem happy. Nick, it seemed classic Nick Diaz and classic Robbie Lawler. And we're not talking enough about Robbie Lawler. We saw classic Robbie Lawler tonight, too. We saw that Robbie Lawler that we got to see fight Carlos Condit. You know, we got to see him in a fight where he didn't have to worry about, you know, getting taken down. And he knew it was just going to be a fun fight, like the Carlos Condit fight. And so good on the UFC to make this fight. I wasn't super hyped on this matchup originally, but it kind of grew on me. And as soon as the music kicked in, Robbie Lawler walking out to the freaking Last of the Mohican song. Yes, that ruled. And, you know, Nick Diaz walking out. It felt cool. And I'm glad we got to see it. I'm glad a lot of the new fans of MMA got to experience the Nick Diaz experience.
Yeah, and a couple of things to kind of add upon what you just said. One, the Robbie Lawler that showed up tonight wasn't going to stop. Like, he wasn't going to get tired. He wasn't going to slow down. This dude is ready. And he would have done that for another 2.5 rounds. There's no doubt about it. And it just would have gotten worse and worse and worse for Nick. In the end, Nick said, Nick had a lot to say in the Brett Okamoto interview. But I think what this night was for him was, I don't know if it was full on closure, but at least was a step towards it with the sport, with everything that has happened. And this is something that he needed to do for himself, not just for the fans, not just for the UFC and money and business and all that nonsense, but for Nick Diaz. I think it was more about Nick Diaz versus Nick Diaz than it was Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler. And I think Nick accomplished a lot. He showed a lot. He didn't get run over. I mean, he lost, he got stopped, but he didn't get run over. He was very competitive. He landed a lot of shots. He was smiling in there. He was saying some stuff, but it wasn't like he wasn't like trying to pretend to fall asleep on the mat or anything like that. There was no shenanigans. He went in there and he stood there and he took Robbie's best shots and Robbie took his, and it was just fun, man. Like, it was a fun fight. This is like watching Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels wrestle. Like, it was just, wow, like, this is actually happening right now. It's pretty surreal. And it's a much better fight than I ever could have imagined.
Yeah, so, and it was a good fight. It was a very exciting fight. It was just too bad it was, you know, we had like fights of the year above it, you know, but luckily for the fans, but it was a good fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Good on both those guys. We'll see where they both go from there. If Nick Diaz fights again, cool. If he doesn't, cool. I mean, that's cool. Yeah. We went in there, we saw it one more time. So just pull up. With everything that happened tonight, I have to like go back and look at it and remember. Yeah. But Curtis Blaydes back in the win column, defeats Jarzino Rosenstrike, not a fight that we're gonna really get into, it's a win.
One good thing to remember about Curtis Blaydes, they actually brought this up in the broadcast. I thought it was smart. Curtis Blaydes is only 30.
I know.
He's only 30. So yeah, we can complain about, you know, his excitement level or whatever. He's only 30. He's not even hit his heavyweight prime yet. So we have a lot more. So we can complain about Curtis Blaydes, you know, fans, but we have a lot more of him. We're gonna see him a lot. And I think he's getting better. I feel he's getting better. And you know, don't be too surprised if Curtis Blaydes isn't fighting for a title, you know, with the next few years.
Jessica Andrade, great performance for her. Just steamroll Cynthia Calvillo, first to ever finish Cynthia. Lauren Murphy as well, first time she was ever finished in 20 professional fights. Marab Dwalishvili, Marlon Moraes was just insane. Just a crazy ass fight. Congratulations to Marab Dwalishvili, 7 wins in a row. This guy is a bad, bad man. And Marlon Moraes is a bad, bad man too, because I mean, he was very close to putting that guy away, but I don't think Barab's human. I just don't think he's human. And no one's going to want to fight that dude. So,
nope.
That's, give him Pedro Munhoz or give him Dominic Cruz. That's what you do. Dan Hooker is lost in all of this. With all this craziness, Dan Hooker and the performance that guy had, kudos to both those guys, obviously, for the visa issues and getting there. But Dan Hooker looked really good tonight, did he not? I mean, tremendous, tremendous performance.
He looked great, and it was a reminder tonight why Dan Hooker is considered an elite lightweight. Yeah, we've seen him lose two times in a row, but I don't want to call Nasrat a showcase fight, but Hooker fought someone well behind him in the rankings. It was a low risk fight, and Hooker took advantage of the matchup and just looked awesome tonight, and just a great reminder of what a full, complete mixed martial artist Dan Hooker is. Even if the wrestling in the third round, he kind of wrestled a lot, or was it the whole fight?
It was the second half of the fight more.
Second half of the fight. But either way, it's just like, oh, and I can watch Hooker throw knees at people just for days. I love how he just does those step in knees and just. Whew. Dan Hooker, just a reminder that he is a legitimate threat always in the top of the division.
Yep. Love the Dariush call out too.
Tyler Santos. And awesome credit. Sorry. Hooker did a great job in his post fight interview. Just to remind people that, yeah, I know I'm the kind of the bigger name, I get more clicks on the internet or whatever, but my opponent has gone through so much more worse than me. So please get it for my opponent. And I hope, fans, remember that too. Just a good and a gentleman too. A gentleman.
Great post-fight interview. Styles Santos, good win over Roxanne Modafari. Jalen Turner, submission win. Two submission wins in a row for Jalen Turner. The Tarantula.
I'm excited for that gentleman. Yeah.
He's super talented. 55er,
right? 55er, correct?
Yeah, 6'1", 55.
Yeah.
Ooh. Big dude. Nick Maximoff, successful octagon debut, boosts to 7-0, taking on Cody Brundage, who took the fight on just a couple days' notice. Matthew Semelsberger treated poor Martin Sano accordingly, 15-second knockout. And then Jonathan Pierce, JSP, with another win at featherweight, stopping Omar Morales, submitting him in the second round. So we'll go to the peeps. We'll take a couple questions. Yeah, just a couple. Is Merab a headache to match? Oh my god, dude. Merab has been a headache to match since he got into the UFC. Now, after that fight, he's a migraine. He's a migraine that lasts for a month. But yeah, you have to give him it's Munhoz. Munhoz will take that fight because Munhoz will fight anybody. Cruz is the fight I'd like to see, just because I think that's such an interesting style matchup.
Yeah, I love Merab Cruz. I think that's I doubt Merab's going to fight anyone ahead of him in the rankings, so Cruz makes the most sense. And yeah, style wise, if Merab wins, have we seen Cruz lose a fight like that? I'm assuming if he loses in Merab style, he'll get just grinded and beaten down from his back. Has Cruz lost like that before? Not really.
Like just taken down over and over again.
Yeah, now. Yeah. That's why I think this fight is gonna be really fun to watch. Yes. So I hope that fight happens.
Yeah. But he will be a headache to match for the rest of his career.
Yeah. Hey, he's getting great on the mic too.
Oh, he's so fun, man. He's such a good. It's just an energetic cat. Do you think Volk will really move up? I think he will eventually. I don't think he's gonna right now, though.
Honestly, I don't think it's his call. I think it's the UFC's call to if Volk wants to, would the UFC let him? I don't know if the UFC will want to take that chance of having their featherweight champ get knocked out at by I guess it depends who Volk's gonna fight at 55 too.
But that division is insane.
Yeah, 55 right is so loaded, and I think Volk is maybe. I would say if he beats Max in the trilogy or Yair, if Yair wins, then I guess he kind of cleaned out that top of the division. So who knows?
Yeah, there's some heavy hitters coming his way too. Yes. Over the next couple of years. Arnold Allen, Ilya Topuria, Bryce Mitchell, Josh Emmett. I mean, Mavzar Evloev. I mean, plenty. There's still the zombie out there. Giga Chikadze's on his way up. I mean, he's going to have no shortage of opponents.
Yeah, and obviously, Ryan Hall.
Of course, Ryan Hall.
Ryan Hall, yes. That was for you.
Getting ready to fight Derek Minner. could Dawkins be a heavyweight champ? Does he have a ground game? Yeah, it's fine. He's not Alexei Oleinik on the ground, but he's fine. But when you punch as hard as he does, you don't really need a ground
game. And fast. Fast and accurate.
He's a monster.
That's a heavy with some fast hands. I love the call out. I love the idea. I know it's not going to happen, but I love the idea of Dawkins versus Stipe.
I love that fight.
I love it. I just don't think it's going to happen from Stipe. Not either. Yeah, but it's a super cool fight. What was the other call out? I think he said someone else.
He called out like the winner of
the
Blades.
Oh yeah,
that's not a bad idea. I wouldn't mind.
Blades is kind of stuck in this. That kind of realm where he's not going to get a title fight. So Blades. I like Blades Dawkins. Okay, I like Dawkins versus Biggie Boy too. Either one.
I like Dawkins versus Derek Lewis.
No matter what, Dawkins is an exciting heavyweight. So we're going to see lots of him.
Isn't that great? Like, good for him, man. One of the really good guys in the sport. He's 3-0 in the UFC or 4-0 in the UFC with all these finishes. And we're already talking about him with the Derek Lewis's and the Stipe's and all these guys. And we're not like, we might say like the UFC might not make this fight, but we're not like, oh, dude, way too early. We're not saying that about him. Shamil's tough out, man. It's really hard. He's a super durable guy. And he got put over. He put his ass away. That was impressive.
Okay, just put this up for 1 second because this guy will not stop spamming. Ran into his flyweight? No. She can barely make bantamweight, so she's not going to make flyweight.
Not humanly possible.
Yeah, this just won't happen.
It's interesting that Shevchenko said, like, I could make 115.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. But she basically, she doesn't want to give up her quality of life.
Which is smart.
She's like, I was talking to my friend over, I was trying to explain who Valentina was. And I was like, I don't know. She doesn't really have a camp. She has her coach and her sister. And they just kind of travel the world. And I think occasionally they fight UFC fights to pay the bills. And then they travel the world some more. It's like, she's an enigma. She's awesome. And the fact that she's not willing to give up that part of her life just to go to 115. Even though it may mean potentially millions of dollars, you know, fighting for a title, 115. She's clearly not that type of person where just having that big bank account is all that matters. You know, as long as she just wants to be happy and dance and learn languages and train mixed martial arts. I think it's amazing.
So she should never have to move down to fight anybody. So, I mean,
she should
be coming up to her.
Yeah, I think that's the option too. There's no reason for it. Yeah, you have fighters come up. Yeah, there's just no reason for that.
Her and Rose would be pretty interesting.
Ooh. Yeah, now you start thinking about these cool matchups now. Yeah, it's fun.
See? I mean, we gotta find things that are very interesting for her while we have her. I'll take two more.
Any last questions, fans?
If not.
Otherwise, we are going to go to sleep.
Yes.
Let me see one.
Catch some Z's and then me and AK back at it first thing in the morning, recording on to the next one. So if you want to get your matchmaking suggestions in, DM me on Instagram at @m_heckjr. Big Mike or Big Milky, Shevchenko versus Nunes 3. I literally see nothing else to challenge for. I think we'll see that fight. I think we'll see it at the end of next year because I think we have a lot. Like I say, enjoy Shevchenko while we have her, but I think we're going to have her for a long while, like the next 5 years at least. Amanda Nunes, not so much. I feel like she's got so much going on in her life. And Amanda literally has like, and Amanda's beat Valentina twice. So like, that would probably be like the last fight of her career. You're just like, all right, shut up about it. All right, I'll fight her. Right now, she has no, I mean, she's a two division champion. It's fun, but getting to 135 sucks for her. And she's getting ready to do that in December against Juliana Pena. And I could see her probably going up and defending 145 one more time and then maybe dropping back down to fight Shevchenko and then just saying, yeah, that's it. What else can I do?
I just think I know people want this fight, but I think it's more about the UFC needs to start building up those divisions better so we don't have to have these two women fight when they don't necessarily need to. Just keep building up new contenders. That's all.
Right. And let me just also say this. Go back and watch the first two fights. They're not all that entertaining. Mm-mm. They're just not.
Against
both of them.
Yeah.
They're just that they're not like, I know a lot of people are expecting what like Nunes and Cyborg was like, mm-hmm. and these fights were not like that at all.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's why maybe Dana is kind of trying to avoid this fight, because if he does do it, it has to be a main event for a pay-per-view and it could potentially be a dud in terms of excitement. And I was talking about this before, and I kind of thought this is really interesting about Valentina. As much as we think she's awesome, she actually hasn't been in the, even in her losses, hasn't been in exciting wars, you know, or like these back and forth battles, like, oh, you know, crazy comeback rounds. It's either she wins dominantly, or, you know, she loses to Amanda Nunes. Really, there's not too much in between, you know?
I want to see Valentina Shevchenko get a foil, like a true foil, like a true rival, like just someone who just comes up and is not intimidated by her and will just talk a bunch of crap about her and just like see how she reacts to it. Like I kind of want to see it just to make it interesting. And then Shevchenko will just roll and she'll get a little feisty.
We need a flyweight version of what we used to, a flyweight version of Julia Pena. Just like doesn't care. Just, you know. Just
someone says like she sucks. What are you talking about?
You're like Valentina's won like 30 fights in a row. Yeah, so she sucks anyway. You know, just like okay, just to say the reason. But yeah, you're right. I don't. And you know what? But that's prize fighting in general. You always need that foil. Like Anderson Silva wasn't a star till he had the Belfort fight, till he had the Sonnen fights. You know, he had those, you know, Belfort was big in Brazil, obviously, and then the Sonnen fights for American fans. You know, he needed that foil, even though he was champion. Probably he had like 6-7 title defenses before those fights. So,
and I think Volkanovski kind of got a foil tonight, and I think that helped.
Exactly. And he kind of admitted it was kind of not fake, but, you know, I just kind of said things to rev my own engine up. But yeah, Volkanovski, and because of that, it made the post-presser more interesting. He just had more personality. Who will be that foil? Could it be a strawweight coming up? See, Rose isn't that person, and they've trained together, so who knows? I don't know that. Oh, you know what? The foil was supposed to be Joanna, but that just kind of didn't really develop, you know?
Macy Barber was probably going to try to be the foil.
Supposed to be, yeah. And that didn't happen.
Set her up. I mean, maybe like a Miranda Maverick or something. Like, because Miranda can talk.
Yeah, she won't, yeah.
She'll respect her, but she's already like thinking about ways of like how to beat her. Yeah. Like, I asked her, like, how do you beat her? And she like has ideas on already how to beat her. So,
you know, we're a few years away from, I think, the fighters catching up to Valentina. Just like I said this about Ronda. Ronda, when she came out, you know, she was a few years ahead of the other bantamweights. You know what? But the lady bantamweights, they go, you know what? We can be better. That's our standard now. You know, Ronda Rousey's dominance. And now these flyweights now have this standard. Now this is the bar, you know, for greatness. Shevchenko. And if she can do it, we can do it too. And we have like the Miranda Mavericks, the Aaron Blanchfields, you know, who are like
Casey O'Neill's.
Yeah, Casey O'Neill's. And they're all sub.
Alexandos.
Yeah, they're like 24, under 24, you know, or whatever. So, don't worry. Valentina's got them coming. They're coming for her.
Yeah. So, as long as she holds on for a few years, she'll get all these challenges and it'll be a lot of fun. So, Anything else, Casey?
Here, last one.
When you make the... Would you guys like a female BMF title?
Who would it be? Who would it be? It's a little off topic, but...
I mean, Shevchenko's got to be in there, right?
There's got to be something different about it. Like, it can't be like some... Yeah.
I mean, if you do that, and then for Shevchenko Nunes and just like put the BMF title on the line.
Yeah, just open weight. I don't know. Whatever. You know what?
But Shevchenko has to be in the fight. So
yeah. And there has to be like, maybe she can come out and do like some. She has to do one of her dances and do like show off how she's so good of guns and like do some sniper training or something. And I don't know. Change it up.
She's legit. She might be the BMF, like of all BMFs, even over like Masvidal.
I totally think that this whole fighting thing is just a cover for her real, whatever her real gig is. And that's some secret spy assassin stuff. So this whole fighting thing, yeah, that's all BS. This is her side gig.
Yeah, she's climbing like one of those hanging ladders on a helicopter right now and flying God knows where to solve a mystery somewhere. She is a badass.
She became a UFC fighter so she could get into the T-Mobile. Then she switches outfits and she, you know, climbs into the rafters and, you know, she defuses a bomb and turns out she saved like, you know, millions of people.
Yep, but not in the news because she doesn't want it that way.
Yeah, she's a hero.
She's the hero we never knew about.
On that note,
hit the music. We're getting out of here. I'm going to bed. 4 a.m. My kid's going to wake me up in an hour and a half. I'm going to be a grump, so I'm going to try to get through that. Casey, thank you for your hard work and dedication. Big thank you to Jose Youngs as well, our boots on the ground in Las Vegas. And another UFC pay-per-view is in the books. Next huge event, October 30th in Abu Dhabi. Jan Błachowicz versus Glover Teixeira. Piotr Jan versus TBD for the interim bantamweight title. And then it's on to MSG. But we got fight night cards every Saturday up until that point. So buckle up, everybody. Mixed martial arts is upon us, getting us ready for the fall and the holiday season. So for Casey, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching. Hope you enjoyed the show. Good night.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.